Okay, so yesterday we started the sugya of Tam Ki Iker. Wow, what a sugya. So we started to go through how the various Rishonim understand the that one little line of Gemara, where Tamo Uma Masho, that Gezeu Kzayis Bechtechil's Pras, and Lokanalov, Tamo Veloma Masho, Ein Lokanalov. So if you recall, yesterday we went through Shitas Rashi, where Rashi said that Tam Ki Iker is that when you say ein lokin alav, you're trying to say that something is only an iser midrabanan. So if you have the actual chefsa shel iser, you get malchus. But if you have just the tam of the iser, if you're relying on tam keiker, then it's only midrabanan. That's shitas Rashi. We went through some of the trouble with Shitas Rashi. Then we saw Shitas Rabbein and Tam is quoted by the Rush in Perek Zayin Simon Lamed Aleph over here, that Tam Ki Iker is Daraisa. What do you do with the Gemara? Time of my Masho, Time of Aloma Masho. Nah, the Gemara is not talking about Tam Ki Iker at all. The Gemara uses the term Tam, but it doesn't really mean it. It's talking about a Tarovis of Min Bimino. It's talking about the kind of ratio that the Tarovis has, but it's not really about Tam Bechlal. But Tam Ki Iker is absolutely midoraisa, and therefore you're going to get malchus for having tam of iser as well. And then we saw the shita of the Rimi Orleans, where the Rimi Orleans had suggested that tam kicker is daraisa. And Rabbi Yochanan's comment is, it is about min b'she'ino mino. Aye, how come ain't lokin alav? There are lots of dinim daraisa that ain't lokin alav. You simply ain't lokin alav because it's an iser esay. It's not a los esay. Where do we derive tam ki iker from? We derive it from not from nazir and not from basa b'chalav, but from Giulei Akum, from Giulei Nachrim. It's only a positive mitzvah to kasher called davar asher yava beish tavir beish v'teher. No lashon of a lav over there. So you're not going to be chayv malkus because it's only an iser esay. So tam avlo mamasha ain't lokin alav because you never get malchus for just tam. But and what does it mean? Tamo uma masho lokin alav. The Rimi Orleans would say that that even kazayis bechteichus pras is only an iser tam for which you get malchus. So we went through that. Maybe it means that it's nikar b'taroves. Maybe the Rimi Orleans holds that it's only when it's just tam, but when mamashos is mixed in, you do get malchus. Rabbeinu Tam obviously disagreed with the Rimi Orleans. I think, I don't remember this, if this is where we left off, I think it is. Rabbeinu Tam obviously disagreed with the Rimi Orleans because regardless of the makar for Tam Ki Iker, Rabbeinu Tam holds that if it were Da'oraisa, you would still be Chayiv Malkus. Even if the source is from Giulei Midyan, from Giulei Klei Midyan. How so? Giulei Klei Midyan is only an Isra Sei. It seems like an Isra say, but the Torah is not introducing a new Isra called Tam when it introduces the concept of Tam Ki Iker. No, what the Torah is doing is the Torah is telling us that Tam Ki Iker, which means Ahadre Li Surikama, the Isser of Nevela, the Isser of Trefa, the Isser of Beim Tameya, whatever Isser gave the Tam into the Kli in the first place, Tam of that Isser is included in the Isser. So the Isser Nevela doesn't only mean not let eat Nevela, it also means not let eat Tam of Nevela. The Isser of Trefa doesn't only mean not let eat Trefa, I mean the Isser is to eat even Tam of a Trefa. And therefore, it is a Los Asay. When you're enjoying the Tam of a Davar Asser, it's absolutely the violation of a Los Asay. It's a violation of the Los Asay of whatever that Isser is. This is the principle of Ahadri Li Surikam. And we pointed out that the basis for this is the Gemara in Bukhara Staf Tes Vav, where the Torah tells us that there's such a thing as Nisr Gizava Avoda by a Bukhar. And yet, if an animal develops a mum, all of a sudden you're allowed a Shechtid, Chutzal Migdash, you could eat it yourself, even if you're a Tamei, meaning apparently it loses all of its special status. And yet, the Torah says that Rak Tizbach V'Yachalta Basra, and we darshin, Tizbach lo tagus, that you can shecht it, but you're not allowed to shear it. Ooh, so what just happened? You had an animal that you're not allowed to benefit from, that's kodesh. And then all that went away because it became balmum, so it's absolutely amaldash, so everything became mutter. And then the Torah came back and said, oh, but don't shear it. You're still not allowed to shear it. So apparently, the Isser of being gozes, psulei amaldashin, could have theoretically been understood in two ways. It could be that the Yisr of being Gozer Zabchar remains even after its Psulei HaMakdashin, meaning that it's a Hadri L'Yisuri Kama, that we go back to the original Yisr that always existed even before it developed a Mum, or we say, no, it's a three-step process. That the animal was Kodesh, and then everything became Mutter. And then there's a new Isser of Gozes, because Tizbach Velotagus, that even though the Bukhar had become Mutter, and since it's from a drush of Tizbach Lugiza, that it's only in Isser Asay. The new Isser Giza is only in Isser Asay. So Rabbeinu Tam understands that by Bukhar, the Isser Giza is the original Isser of being Gozes, the animal, that you'd have before it developed a Mum. So once the Torah teaches me this drasha, it's being Megale that Giza is included in the Iker Isser of Psulei HaMakdashim, which is a lav, meaning that that Isser never went away. Just as in Hilchos Bukharos, we say, Ahadru L'Yisur HaKamas, Rabbeinu Tam would say, over here also, by Tam Kikar Ahadru L'Yisur HaKamas, why should it be any different? That when you have something that that was, the original Isser was a losase, and then it seemed that, oh, wait, in its current format, this is not going to be Usser at all. And then the Torah tells me, no, no, it's still Usser. What's the Torah doing? Is the Torah telling me there's a new Isser called Tam, or a new Isser in the case of Bechar called being Gozes of Bechar Pesulam Mekdashim? Or is the Torah telling me, oh, go back to what the original Isser was? In the case of Tam Ki Iker, the original Isser, whether it be Nevela or Trefa, Behem Tvei, whatever the Isser was. And the Tam is included in that Isser. And in the case of Bechar, then you go back to the Yisr Giza that you have in general by Mukdashin. So the Rimi Orleans, Lechara would say, that it's true, Ahadri L'Yisr Kama is true by Bechar, but you don't say Ahadri L'Yisr Kama by Klei Midyan. Or the way the Rash in Tevil Yom says it, which is really just another way of saying the same thing, that the reason there's Malkus for Gzizas Pusulei Mukdashim is not really entirely based on a Hadra L'Yisur HaKama. No, it's that the Pasuk is Megale, that there never was a Heter Giza on Psulei HaMakdashim. Meaning, the starting point of all Kachim is that it's Asur to do Shechita, it's Asur to be Gozes, it's Asur to do Giza, that's the starting point of all Psulei HaMakdashim, of all Makdashim. From Tizbach we learn, Dafka, that it's Mutter to Shech. It's not that there's a drusha that, oh, now that it's developed a mum, everything's mutter, and now I need to go back to have a heter of being to have an isser of gozes, and that's a hadri l'isur kama. No, no, everything's asir. And then the Torah tells me there's an exception, tizbach. You're allowed to shechted. Oh, I'm allowed to shechted. But that's it. It's not a drusha tizbach v'lo togos. It's obvious. Then if the Torah says everything's asr, and then you're telling me, oh, but you're allowed to shecht it, that's all it's telling me I'm allowed to do, is that I'm allowed to shecht it. But that's where the heter ends. There's no heter giza. So that's the original lo saseh remains. Meaning when something actually goes through a three-step process, whether it's a hadra l'isur kama or not, is a separate discussion from the discussion by Bechar. The discussion by Bechar, it never went through a three-step process. There was a step, everything's asr, and then there was a second step where some things became mutter. But nothing, there was never, and then making something that became mutter asr again. Essentially, it's not that the isur giza went away by the animal becoming possible and then returned through this drasha of Tizbach Lo Giza. The Iker Isra of Giza remained intact the entire time. There is another case where we also have this principle of Ahadri L'Yisur HaKama, and that is by Malacha on Yom Tov. The Isra Malacha on Yom Tov. Right? For Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to do Malacha. There's Nisra, you're not allowed to do any of the Lamentas Malachas in Yom Tov. Elamai, for Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to do the Malachas. However, even within the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, Lachem v'lo l'nachrim, lachem v'lo l'behema. Right, you're allowed to do melech sochel nefesh for yourself, but not for a nachri. Right? That's why if for whatever reason you have to invite a non-Jewish person to a su'uda, better not make it a Yom Tov su'uda. Better be a Shabbos su'uda than a Yom Tov su'uda. Because on Yom Tov, you're probably cooking on Yom Tov itself, and it's halachim fereshes in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Yud Beis of Aleph, it's a Gemara Maseches Beitza, that Lachem Velo L'Nachri, that you're not allowed to do any cooking for the sake of a Nachri. So if you add any special dish that you think the Nachri is going to enjoy, that's a violation of a Malachato Raisa of Bishul and Yom Tov. Whereas on Shabbos, you're not cooking anyway on Shabbos. All your cooking is being done before Shabbos, so it would be much easier. A lot of times, for some reason, people have the impression that it's a good idea to have non-Jews come to their Seder. That is a fabulously bad idea. Meaning, if there's any time that really is meant to be an intimate gathering for Jewish people to discuss our heritage, where we come from, the birth of our nation, our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, in an uninhibited way, that's what the Seder is supposed to be all about. You want to invite a non-Jew because they're curious about how you live, or because Rachman al-Islam, lo aleinu, there's some sort of inappropriate relationship or something within the family, and you have to, for whatever reason, have a non-Jew. Not on Pesach, not at the Seder. I mean, it shouldn't be on Yantav at all. It should be on Shabbos if it has to be. So, but anyway, that's the halacha. Shulchan Aruch Sim Tavkuf Yud Beis of Aleph. If you cook for a Nachri or Behema, so now what did you do? If you cooked on Yantif for a Nachri, what did you violate? Did you violate the Isser of Malacha on Yantif? Los Haseh? Or did you violate the Isser Haseh of Lachem Velo Leklavim, Lachem Velo Lenachri? Right? So the Tosfos Maseches Beitza and Daf Chaf Aleph discusses that very issue, that Chakira. It's the first piece in the Shoshana Samakim of the Prima Gadin. He discusses a guy cooks for a non-Jew on Yom Tov, and then served as an aid kiddushin, right? Something like that. So, are you married? Right, if you find out later that the aid is pasul and there were only two aidim, let's assume that you don't have any additional kulas to rely on other aidim that also saw, and you know, things like that. Or let's say you're Masada Kedushin was very makbid, and he said you're appointing these to the exclusion of all others, and you know, so there is no, so even though there might have been one other kosher aid that saw it, but you just excluded that aid from being part of the group of aidim, right? So you have you really relied on these two aid Kedushin, and one of them cooks for Nachrim on Yantif, right? One of them cooks for Nachrim on Yantif. So the halach is your pasul aid if you do if you violate an avera regularly. That's an issue that involves malchus. That's the definition of Russia. One of the definitions of Russia. So if that's the case, then you wouldn't be married. But if it's only a violation of an isra essay, then you would be married. So you only pasul aidus if it's lav sheish ba malchus. So the prim gadon discusses how that depends on that issue of a hadri li surikama. Is a hadri li surikama, then you would say that it goes back to the regular los asev malach in the Torah. But if you say not a hadri li surikama, that it's a brand new isser, so then it's only an isser asay. So these are the three places where it comes up. It comes up by Bechar, where we take a clear stance that yes, a hadri li surikama. It comes up over here by Tam Ki Iker, where it seems to be a machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rimi Orleans whether and it comes up by Melechus Yom Tov, where it's also a discussion in Rishonim whether a Hadri Li Surikama or not. Okay, but anyway, that is the Shita of the Re Meorleans. Fourth Shita in how to understand Tam Ki Iker. The Ravid is quoted in the Rashba in Chulin Tzadi Chesem Beis, and in Isser Mashahu of the Ravid in Perek Beis, Dibur Maskel Vahani Mili, and this also happens to be the Shita of the Balamar in Psachim Yud Gimelam Beis Bedape Arif, where the Ravid and the Balamar agree fundamentally that the Rimei Orleans is correct, that you can have Tam Ki Iker Midoraisa and still not be Chayiv Malkus. But unlike the Rimei Orleans, who said, yeah, you're not Chayiv Malkus because it's only an Isser Essay, no. They say that the reason there's no Malkus is that regardless, forget about a Hadra Li Surikama, the fact that you're going to learn from Giulei Akum or Basar B'Chalav or Nazir means that in order to learn Tam Ki Iker, you need to employ some sort of limud, whether it be a Kal V'Chomer, whether it be Memetzinu, and whenever you're employing some sort of limud where it's not directly within that parsha, you're learning Mimakom L'Makom, there's never going to be an Onesh. This is the principle we know of in Shas, of Ein Onshin Min Adin, that if you learn that you only derive a halacha from a Kal V'Chomer, so you can't give give an onesh based on that limud. So if the limud is from Nazir, so it's kal v'chomer, right? The Gemara says in Pesachim, ma Nazir shei nisuri yisur olam, vei nisuri yisur anav, yeish heter li yisuro. So Nazir, which is not an yisur olam, and it's not an yisur anav, and there's a heter li yisuro, and nevertheless, asabo tam ki ikr, we still are so machmir by a Nazir that we say tam ki ikr, kol mishras anavim, right? So kal v'chomer for other yisuri Torah, where by most other yisuri Torah, it is an yisur olam, and sometimes it is an yisur anav, and sometimes and most often there's no heter li yisuro. So if you have, so those are, that's a kal v'chomer. If the limud is, so that would be clear, right? If the limud is from Nazir, Einon Shemin Adin, that is a universally accepted rule in Shas, that we're not going to give a malchus based on the kal v'chomer. What if the limud is from Gilui Kli Midyan? So Gilui Kli Midyan is not really kal v'chomer. Meaning if we're learning Tam Kikr from Gilui Kli Midyan, it's not really kal v'chomer, it's a binyan av. And there's what to discuss about that. You know, the Ran in Nedarim, Dalaram Beis, in Dibra Maschel Tesi, the Ran indicates that Einon Shemin Adin applies to Memetzinu as well. Applies to Binyanav, which is, it's Machlokas, but it's likely the same thing as a Memetzinu. The Ran in Nedarim writes that any time you're going to learn a halacha from one place to another, whether it be through a Kal V'chomer, whether it be through a Binyanav, Ein Onshin. The Mishnah Melech in Nezirus Perek Beis Halach Yedzayin asks from a Ran in Chulin and Daf Lamed Hayam Beis Midap Erif, where the Ran holds our sugya, where the Ran holds that you do get Malkus for Tam Kikr, even though it's only derived from a Memetzinu. So the Ran itself may be inconsistent, but that's not going to bother the Ravid. It's not going to bother the Balamar. Meaning the Ravid and the Balamar will tell you, okay, look, I hold you don't get Malkus for Tam Kikr. And in fact, the reason you don't get Malkus for Tam Kikr is because you can't get Malkus for something that you derive from a you can't get Malkus for something that you derive from a Kal V'chomer from Memetzinu. Rabbi Yochanan was therefore saying the following, according to the Shitas Ravid. Tamo umamasho lokin alav. What does that mean? If there's a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, you get malchus for eating a kezayis of isir. Right? That's tamo umamasho. That the tarovis is so great, the ratio is so great, that you're going to eat a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. That's eating the isir itself, that you get malchus. So that's not just tam. That's eating the isir itself. Tama v'lo mamasho ain't lokin alav. But if you're never going to eat a kezayis of the isser, b'kdei achilas pras, so all you're violating is the isser of tam, without mamashos. So yes, you violated an isser daraisa, tam ki ikir, but you're not going to get malchus, because it's only derived from a kal v'chomer, from a memetzinu. The Beis Halevi, in Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Zayin, Os Hei, just points out that those Rishonim who would hold that you do get malchus for tam ki ikir, either hold that you can get Malkus for something derived from a Binyanav, or they would say that you can't get Malkus from a regular Binyanav, and maybe this is how to defend the Ran from the Mishnah Melech's Kasha. You can't get Malkus from a regular Binyanav where there's a limud from one Isser to another. But by Gilui Kli Midyan, it's fundamentally different, since the Isser goes on any Tam Isser that's Balua in the Kli. Meaning, whatever the Tam Isser is Balu and the Kli, whether it's Tam Nevela, Tam Behema Tmeya, Tam Yayinesach, Tam Trefa, I don't care, any Tam Isser, we view it as if the Torah teaches an Isser Tam by every Isser. So while it's true that Ein Onshin Min Adin, that you're not going to apply an Onesh on an Isser that's generated based on the Kal V'chomer, over here we're not generating any new Isser. This relates to the previous discussion we had. We're not generating any new Isser. We're defining the parameters of the Isser. And that Isser, the Isser Nevela, you get Malkus on. So Mela, the Ran might say that you get Malkus on Tam Ki Ikr, not because you get Malkus on Tam Ki Ikr, you get Malkus on the Tam of Nevela, because that's the Isser of Nevela. Even though the Ran says that you don't get Malkus on things derived from a Kal V'chomer or from a Binyanav. Then the Beis Halevi explains further that those Rishonim, I mean, there's earlier in the same piece in the Beis Halevi, that those Rishonim that say that you get Malkus would learn that the reason Ein Onshin Min Adin is based on the Marshan Sanhedrin Samach Dalin. Meaning, why is it Ein Onshin Min Adin? Why is it that we can't punish someone based on a Kal V'chomer? So if you look in Beis HaOtzar, Rav Yosef Engel, in Chelek Aleph, Klal Nun Hei, he has a magnificent piece on Einon Shel Minadin. Beis Hotzer is an encyclopedia. He just didn't get that far. So, in Klal Nun Hey, in Os Aleph, Einon Shel Minadin, he has a magnificent, mamish magnificent piece. And it's Rav Yosef Engel is a very, very impressive person. I mean, first of all, anyone who writes an encyclopedia without a team and without a computer, and you're writing an encyclopedic work, but then when you add Gaonus and Charifus and everything else into that encyclopedia, so that's a different level. It's like they say about Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, Zichrono Livracha, who obviously, as I'm sure you all know, was the Nasi of the Encyclopedia Talmudit for the last many years. When it started, I think it was Rav Zevin, but Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, they said that there are two ways that you could write an article in an encyclopedia. You could lock yourself up in a room for a month with Bar Ilan and Otzer HaChachma and everything else and research a topic a million different ways and uncover every angle and then finally come out with a piece that's worthy of being entered, or if Zalman Chaim Goldberg could sit down for a half hour and write it. There's certain type of gaonus of just having not just having all the information, but having it all organized already in one's head to be able to do that. So Rav Yosef Engel and Beis Ha'otzer, if you take a look at that piece, it's magnificent. Really, he doesn't go through like a chakira, two possible reasons that Einon Shel Minadin. I think he has something like 12 possible reasons for Einon Shel Minadin. But classically, the way it's said is that there are two possible reasons. It's classically said that there's a Marsha and there's Rashi as to why it is that Einon Shel Minadin. That the Marsha says Einon Shel Minadin is based on the fact that the Isser, which is Chamor, may not get a kapara through the Onesh for the Isser Kal. Meaning, what's a kal v'chomer? I'm going to take an Isser Kal, and I'm going to say, ooh, if I get Malkus for the Isser Kal, when I do an Isser Chomer, for sure I should get Malkus. Well, wait a second. Why do we give Malkus? Just Stam, because we like beating people up? No, that's assault. You would not be allowed to do that. We give Malkus because we're trying to get the person a kapara. Meaning, going through that onesh, they get a kapara. But if it's an insufficient kapara for a different isser, so then you're still assaulting the guy. You're not allowed to assault a person. So, Malkus may be good for the isser kal, but you're going to try to apply that to an isser chamer, and then you're just beating the guy up for no reason. You can't do that. So that's how the Marsha understands Einon Shel Minadin, that it may be an insufficient kapara for the Isser Chamur. So says the Beis Halevi, those Rishonim who say that you do get Malkus on Tam Ke'ikr would say, yeah, that's Svar of the Marsha works for a Kal V'chomer, but it doesn't work for a Binyanav. When it comes to a binyanav, it's a parallel iser. It's not a kal and a chamur. So if malchus is a kapara enough for one iser, so then another iser that parallels malchus should be good enough, and it should provide the same kapara. The other limud as to why it is Einon Shel Minadin is Shitas Rashi in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschal HaKeshahu, that Rashi understands that. That the reason Einon Shel Minadin is because a din means a kal v'chomer, and a kal v'chomer relies on human intellect. It relies on a person coming up with a logical argument as to why I should derive halacha B from halacha A. And we know that there is such a thing as a pircha and a kal v'chomer. You think that's kal, that's chomer. Aye, but what about this element that you didn't think of, or that element that you didn't? I mean, since ein adam dan gzera shava me'atzmo, gzera shava, there's nothing to talk about. You have it as a masorah from your rabbi. But a kal v'chomer is something that a person can come up with on their own. So since you can come up with on your own, you can also be destroyed, right? It could also. So what are you going to do? You're going to give someone misa based on a kal v'chomer, and then the next day someone's going to slug up your kal v'chomer. So you go, whoops, you already gave the person the onesh. So that's why Rashi understands Einon Shel Minadin. If that's the case, it's any kind of limud that a person could be done me'atzmo, that a person is able. Ooh, so what are the limudim that a person could be done me'atzmo? Meaning, we know that a kal v'chomer for sure you could be done on your own. We know that a gzera shav for sure not. Einon done gzera shav me'atzmo. So Rashi and Tosos Maseches Sukkah. What about the other 11? right? Can you be done me'atzmo or can you not? So if you work with the assumption that a memetzino is something that a person can do on their own, just like a kal v'chomer, then Rashi Svara would tell you that you can't get malchus for that which is derived from a memetzino either. Whereas if you're going with a marsha's understanding of inyan shemen adin, that's still unique to kal v'chomer and would not apply to a memetzino. Just parenthetically, in Beis HaOtzer over there, he quotes a b'nei Yisachar, and in the Tribina Rav in Dov Meisharim Chelik Beis HaMetes, he quotes the same thing from the Arizal, that a third explanation of Einon Shemen Adin, where he says Einon Shemen Adin is that the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben. It's not a coincidence that you have Yud Gimel Midos of right. What's the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben? Right. What's the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben? Shnei Ksuvim Amachishim Zeh Zeh Hachiyavo Kasa Shish Vechiyah B'neim. Right. What's the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? V'nakei Lo Yinakei. Right, he has like shtick like that. So he goes through all 13, the Arizal, the Bnei Yisachar. They go through all 13, and they show how there's an exact parallel between them. So he says the Kal V'Chomer corresponds to Kel. Kel is divine mercy. So Ein Onshin Min Adin, you can't give an onesh based on Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is rooted entirely in divine mercy. So how that relates to Memetzino, so then it would be more unique to Kal V'Chomer. Again, not the most halachic of understandings, but that's what they quote from the Arizal. Ooh, lots of questions. Okay, why can't it function as partial kapara? That's not the kapara prescribed by the Torah, meaning now that we can't give malchus, so do you go over to a guy and just whack him across the face and give it? You don't do that, because it's less painful than malchus, yeah, but you don't do that. We have to go with the kapara that the Torah prescribes. Gabe asks, if we only give malchus to give the person a kapara, then why do we still give malchus to a person who hasn't done tshuva? If malchus only mechaper with tshuva, that I get, because the Torah says so. So that, I guess, there's a partial kapara. No, it's not mechaper at all. The yisurin that the person suffers from getting malchus, he's not going to get complete kapara unless he does tshuva. Dov, would it not be mechaper if he does tshuva after? I see this is much more interesting to you guys than the actual yaradaya. Okay, so okay, I hear it. Would it not be mechaper if he does tshuva after the malchus? Okay, that's responding to Gabe. We're having a whole conversation back and forth over here. Okay.
Yeah, ready. It continues for a little while.
Okay. Is David Kirsch involved? Let's see. Doesn't Rabbi Kiva Eger?
That's a different comment.
Okay. RAE is Rabbi Kiva Eger. Someone sent me a thing that RAL once said something brilliant, and I was like, I did? And it turned out they were talking about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Initials are not always conclusive.
Anna Lopiansky,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a stacked initials.
Yeah, having good company, that's pretty good. They're like, RAL said that? That sounds idiotic. Oh, no, that was me. That was that one. Okay, anyway, doesn't Rabbi Kiveger say that Giulei Nachrim isn't a memetzinu in the first place? Would that get us out of the problem altogether? Meaning that it's... where are you, David?
There.
Yeah, no, so to speak up. What do you mean?
I said, doesn't Rabbi Kiveger hold that Giulei Nachrim isn't a memetzinu? So if it's not a memetzinu, then we don't have any problem in the first place.
What do you mean it's not a memetzinu? That it's...
He says that. I mean, I could have read it wrong, but I thought that Rabbi Akiva Eger says that Giulei Nachrim is not learned out from Mematzina. It's not an example of Mematzina.
Yeah, I mean, the Gemara, you know, meaning it's a question of how to understand the drasha. There's some level of Mematzina in there, if you're learning from Giulei Nachrim, it's just a question of whether it's a Mematzina just to tell you that there. That Tom is included in the original list or not? No, which Rabbi Kiva Eger? Where are we?
I'll look it up. All right. I'll do some homework.
Okay, Dov Gabe. Okay, so now let's get back to it then. Shita number five. Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, the Torah quotes this from Rabbeinu Tam, but Acharonim say it's a typo. It should say rach, not rot. So talk about it. Rashi tables become even more confusing when you get the wrong ones. So Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen quotes that tamo viloma masho doesn't always mean the same thing. Sometimes tam kikir is daraisa, and sometimes tam kikir is drabanan. Ooh, so now we're in between territory, right? We've been saying up until now, either tam kikir is always daraisa and you get malchus, tam kikir is drabanan and you never get malchus, tam kikir is daraisa but still you don't get malchus, and now we're saying, is tam kikir daraisa or is it drabanan? I want a third option. Right, there's a sometimes daraisa, sometimes drabanan. When you taste the tam of nisra, how so? Sometimes tam kikir is daraisa. Sometimes it depends on how much non-kosher food is in the mixture. There's a concept, and that's what the Gemara says explicitly: kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. So normally we think of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras as like, you know, on any isra achila. How quickly did you eat it? Did you eat the food where you consumed a kezayis of the food with a din of kedei achilas within the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of that food, and that's really the source of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. The first source in Shas is the eretz chito teinu v'chule. So we darshan that kol pasuk is l'shirim nitna, and kezayis b'chdei achilas pras is by Bayis Hamenuga, that Bayis Hamenuga is Achilas Pras. If you stay in a Bayis Hamenuga long enough to eat a Pras Pas Chitin, you become Tameh. So we learn from there, Kedei Achilas Pras is the time frame within which an Achila has to happen, whether it be for an Isser, whether it be for a Mitzvah. Right? That's why some people stuff their matzah down their face as quickly as they possibly can on the night of the Seder, because they hold that a Kedei Achilas Pras is a very short amount of time. And yet some hell, kezayis is gigantic. I don't know what they imagined people, how people used to eat, but l'chora, if you have a gigantic kezayis, then your pras is even more gigantic, and your kedei achilas pras should be much longer. So there's no real need to like stuff your face with a ton of matzah very, very quickly. If you want to be machmir in the sheer kezayis, it's wonderful, but then your sheer achilas pras extends as well. But what Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen is introducing is another din of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, not as a time frame within which to eat a kezayis, but as a ratio of a tarovas, that how much of the iser is mixed in to the heter. If it's so, there's a line. If so much of the iser is mixed into the heter that if you eat a pras of the tarovas, you will have consumed a kezayis of the iser. That's a very high level tam ki'ikr. Not only do you taste the flavor of the iser, you're actually consuming a kezayis of the iser. So that's a very high level tarovas. So that's the kezayis b'chdei achilas pras that we're referring to. That's where tam ki'ikr is going to be daraisa. But if there's not a kezayis of the iser mixed into the taroves within a pras of the taroves, but you could still detect it. It's definitely not shishim kenegdo either, so you could still detect the taste. That's tam kikir midrabanan. And then Rabbi Chaim goes a step further, and he says that even if you just eat a kezayis of the entire taroves, you're still going to be chayv malchus. Even if you just eat an entire kezayis of the entire tarovas, which means you didn't eat a kezayis of the iser, as long as there's a possibility of eating a kezayis of iser b'kdei achilas pras by eating this tarovas, we would say heter nepach lios iser, that the heter becomes iser. Even the heter portion of what you ate is also counted toward the iser. Meaning, essentially, Chaim Cohen is saying two things. First of all, tam kikir daraisa, but only when the ratio is kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Not every tarovas that tam can be detected in has such a high ratio. And second, he's telling me, once you have such a high ratio, then even the heter is nepach lios aser, lios iser. So eating a kezayis of the tarovas would be enough to be chayv malchus. A discussion in Achronim, what would Rabbi Chaim Cohen say if you have pachus mi kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, where we said tam kikir is only drabanan, right? Is it really only drabanan, or is that a chatzi shirasa min haTorah? Meaning, when you don't have the ratio that would add up to Kazayis Bechtei Chuz Pras, whatever the ratio that would add up to Achiv Malkus of Tam Ki Iker, do you say, no, there's still Tam Ki Iker on a Doraisa level, but you don't get Malkus because it's only a Chatzi Shir. I mean, it has the status of a Chatzi Shir. And that's why Tam of Lama Masho ain't Lokin Alav. Ain't Lokin Alav, not because it's not Doraisa, it is. Chatzi Shir is also Min HaTorah. Or do we say, no, the Isser Min HaTorah of Tam is only when you hit that ratio. If you don't hit that ratio, then there is no Isser Min HaTorah of Tam. Then the whole Isser of Tam is only Drabanan. Take a look at the Grun, Sivkatan Ches, who's Mekel on this issue, and Rabbi Kiveger on the Shach, and Sivkatan Vav, who seems to be Machmir on that issue. They bavorn that Shaila. Now, just to be clear, or maybe to confuse things, I don't know, this is different than Chaticha Nasas Nevela. We haven't really gotten to Chaticha Nasas Nevela, so maybe it's a little unfair, but there's no way to do this right, you know, as I'm looking through. It is better to do Tarovis before you do Basa B'chalav, but because you get the principles before you get the applications of the principles, so that's why a lot of times in Tarovis, it's not going to be so Halacha L'maisa, it's just understanding the principles, and then we're educated enough to talk in Basa B'chalav. But there's still going to be concepts that come up, somewhat out of order. So, this is different than Chatik Nas Nevela. When we say Heter Nepach Lios Isser, it's a little different than Chanan. Chanan would also mean that the entire Tarovis is treated as Isser. So it sounds the same, right? Chatik Nas Nevela means I have a piece of meat that Nevela went into the meat. So now I treat the whole piece of meat as Isser. So it sounds very much like Heter Nepach Lios Isser. The Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Ches, tells us that milk falls on meat, Chatichanas Nevela. And that meat will now forbid all other pieces of meat in the same pot, because now it's a Tarovis of Min Bemina. You have a meat that's Basa Bechala, and you have all the other pieces of meat in the pot, which are not Basa Bechala, but it's a Tarovis of Min Bemina. The Tosfos quotes a Machlokas, Tosfos of Kuf Amar Aleph, whether we say Chanan Bishari Surim, and we're going to spend a lot more time on this at a later date when we go back to Basa B'chalav, do we apply Chatichanas Nevela to Shari Surim, or is it only a din in Basa B'chalav? So Rabbeinu Ephraim says it only applies to Basa B'chalav. Rabbeinu Tam says it applies to Shari Surim as well. And it's Machlokas Machaber and Rama, Simon Sadi Beis, Sif Dalit. So it seems reasonable to say that if you hold Chanan Bishari Surim, then you are holding Heter Nepach Lios Isur, because that's what Chanan means. And your Chayv Malkus for your Kazayis of a Tarovas that has a Tam Isser in it. However, if you look in Shirei Arav in Simon Ayin Vav Os Beis, Rav Soloveitchik suggests that since the Ramah in Simon Sadi Ches, Siv Ches, over here, paskins like the Bali Atosos, that if you have salt or spices that have absorbed dam, they can be batal b'shishim, even though you'll still taste the spice. You're not going to taste the dam, but you'll taste the spice. It will still be batal b'shishim, even though the spice is giving a very strong taste, because the spice can't be more chumer than the blood that was absorbed in it. And the blood, which was the Iker Isser, would be Batal B'shishim. So apparently the Ramah holds, like Rabbeinu Tam, that the din of Chatich Nas Nevela is no egg by Shari Surim, and also that salt soaked in blood is Batal B'shishim. So whereas if Tam Ki Iker were based on Chanan, the salt would never be Batal. Furthermore, it's different because if we were to say Chanan, it would remain Asr even if you would successfully be Sochet, the Tam Isser, from the food. But we're saying Tam Ki Iker and Heta Nepach Lios Isser, it's only Asr so long as the Tam is there. It's not necessarily Chanan to the point that Efshar L'Sochto Asr. So in Shuvas Rabbi Kiveger, in Simon Sadi Beis, he explains that Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen must not be based on Chatich Nas Nevela, because he probably holds like most poskim that we don't say Chatich Nas Nevela B'Shari Surim. So how are we to understand it? Then Rav Soloveitchik explains very beautifully. Rav Soloveitchik explains, Lo Niskavin Lomar, I'm reading from the Shirei Arav, Lo Niskavin Lomar, Dimidin Tam Ki Iker, Nepach Heter Lios Isser, El Rabbein Tam Rachidesh Din Binogea Lishir Kezayis HaNitzrach L'Chiv Malkus Ba'ochel Macholos Asuros. The shir kezayis, that's what he's talking about. How do you measure the shir kezayis of what you need to eat? Shekdei l'schayiv malkus al achilas iser, lo tzorech lechol dafka kezayis shel iser, el sagi be achilas kezayis ochel hamut'am me iser. that in order to be chayiv for achilas kazayis, you don't need to eat a kazayis of the iser. You only need to eat a kazayis of food laced with the flavor of the iser. Shalchiva atur basir achila ela al hana. V'yesh osad abachilas kazayis ochal mutam iser kama abachilas kazayis iser atzma. The din chanan has nothing to do with tam kikr or with hapater nebachilas iser. The din chanan is a din in sheer bittel. That in order to be mevatel chaticha, that's forbidden, you need 60 times the entire chaticha, regardless of whether the entire volume of the chaticha is made up of iser. And that explains the Ramah, that even if chanan is by shari surim is min haTorah, the salt soaked with blood is batel b'shishim, because tam kikr doesn't make the heter into iser. It's just that midin chanan, you need to be mevatel the part of the chaticha that has absorbed the iser. The salt isn't going to be more chamer than the blood, which is the iser absorbed in it. And there are two rayas to this idea that chanan is a din bittel and not based on heter nebach l'iser. You know, we'll just give one raya, a very clear raya. Chulin tzadi chasam beis. If you hold that you need shishim by Yisrael b'sheila, then you need shishim even corresponding to the etzem, not just to the basar. What do you mean? The etzem? Why do I need shishim to the etzem? The etzem is not food at all. So it must be that the shir shishim is about the entire chaticha. That it's a din in bittel, that you need shishim of the entire chaticha. Not that the whole chaticha is actually iser. It's a tarovitz of heter and iser. Elamai, there's an iser of achilas tam, not just the achila of a cheftash lisa, there's an iser of achila of tam. And there's a din of bittel that separate din, that you need to be mevatel, the entire cheftza that's laced with iser. Okay, we'll leave that aside for now. That was a little bit of beyond probably what we should have done. A sixth approach. Salvation quotes seven approaches, so we'll do the sixth approach. The Shita of the Reeve that's quoted in the Rashman, Chulin Tzadi Chesem Beis, that Tam Kikr is Daraisa, you don't get Malkus on it because it's a Chatzishir. They don't get Malkus, even though Chatzishir is Asa Min HaTorah. So not that you don't get Malkus based on Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras or anything like that. It's just whenever it's just Tam, we view it Ki'ilu it's a Chatzishir. So yes, Daraisa, but no Malkus. So similar to like we said, the Rimi Orleans, that Tam Ki'ikar is Daraisa, but you don't get Malkus for whatever reason. It's derived from the Kal V'chomer, or it's only a mitzvah sesei. So the Re, you don't get Malkus because it has a din of a chatzi shir. It doesn't have a din of a full shir of an iser. Then you have the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam, Perek Tezvav, Hilchos Macholos, Rus Halachos, Aleph through Gimel. He starts off very similar to Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, that it depends on Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. That Tam Kikr is sometimes Daraisa, sometimes Rabbana. Right? Sometimes Daraisa, sometimes Rabbana. And it all depends on ratio. The ratio of the Tarovas. If it's a Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, then it's going to be Daraisa. If it's Pachas Mikazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, it's Rabbana. Except where the Rambam veers from Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen is that the Rambam holds you're only chayiv if you ate a full pras, meaning you have to have actually consumed the full kazayis of the iser, which means there is no such thing as heter nepach lios iser. You're only going to be chayiv if you actually consumed the kazayis of the iser. So apparently tamo uma masho means a kazayis bechtei achilas pras. Tamo v'loma masho means Pachos mikazayis bechtei achilas pras. You know, it's a major machlokas in terms of what Tam Ki'ikr accomplishes. Even if you hold Tam Ki'ikr daraisa, there are two ways it could work. You could say heter nepach lios iser, like Rabbeinu Tam or Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen a little bit differently. Or you could say, no, there's no such thing as heter nepach lios iser, like the Rambam. The Rashba in Chulin Tzadi Chesem Beis asks the following kasha. How can you have a din tam ki'ikr if on a daraisa level everything is batel barov? Meaning, don't the two just contradict each other? If there's a din of bitel barov mi daraisa, so what do you mean tam ki'ikr? Tam happens with shishim. So how could tam ki'ikr? So the Rashba writes that bitel barov only works when you have a tarovas. Without a tarovas, you can't apply bitel barov. So let's say you have three pieces of meat, two with an OU, and one that's clearly chazer. So there's no bittul barov, because there's a nikar iser, and there's no tarovas. So it comes along the Rashba and he says, that's what Tam Kikar is being Mechadesh. It's redefining Taroves. I mean, you're right. Everything is Batal Barov when there's a Taroves. And when there's no Taroves, it's not Batal Barov. What Tam Kikar is telling us is that even something that you can't see, but you can taste, that's Nikra Isser. Meaning, I have three clearly identifiable pieces of meat in front of me. One says glat treif, and two say glat kosher. And I see which one is which. There's no tarovus, there's no bitl barov. Right? That, there's no question. I'm not allowed to eat the one that's not kosher. Why? It's Nikra Isser. Tam Ki Iker makes it that Nikra Isser doesn't only mean you can eyeball it and you can see the Isser. Nikra Isser means you can taste the Isser. So it's Mafkia the Shem Taroves. That's how the Rashba seems to say. Even something you can't see, you could just taste it. That qualifies as Nikra Isser. So it takes away the Shem Taroves. So you couldn't apply Bittul Barov. The Rashba brings a Raya from Pasuk and Eov that food is always defined by how it tastes. And that's Pshat in the Ramba. You're only Chayv Malkus if you ate a full Kazayas of the Isser. Why? Because the Isser is still Nikr. It's not Batel. If it were Batel, okay, then you could talk about that the Heter is Nepach Lios Isser. But the way the Ramba understands, no, the Heter is Heter. The Isser is Isser. And the only way you're going to be Chayv is if you eat a Kazayas of the actual Isser. And the only way to do that is by eating a Pras of the whole thing. Because the Isser is still independent. That's the whole lumdus, that it's Nikar Isser. Those Rishonim that disagree with the Rashba were probably never bothered by that question in the first place. How can you have Tam Kikar? What about Bittul Barov? The Torah is very chiddush of Tam Kikar, is that it beats Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov is when there's no Tam. And when there is Tam, then Bittul Barov doesn't apply. I mean, it's that simple. So Tam Kikar can be Heter Nepach Lios Isser, like Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen said. Right? So again, the difference between Chaim Cohen and the Rambam is that they both hold that the ratio in order to create an Isser D'oraisa of Tam Kikar is Kezayis within an Achilas, within a Pras. A Kezayis of the Isser within a Pras of the larger food. But the question is, what do you have to do in order to be Chayv Malkus on that? Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen says, just eat a Kezayis of the whole Taroves. You had a little bit of chazer schmaltz, fell into your chalent, eat a kazayas of the chalent, and you're chayiv malkus. Whereas the Rambam's going to say, no, you have to eat a pras of the chalent, because that's the only way you're going to get a kazayas of chazer schmaltz. If you eat a pras of the chalent. The chazanish in Tevil Yom, in Simon Gimel, the remarkable thing about the chazanish, Rav Shecht always says, remarkable thing about the Chazon Ish is that he wasn't so smart. I don't know what that means. He wasn't a genius, you know. Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage us to learn Chazon Ish to show that you don't have to be the biggest genius to be so successful in learning. I would not get that impression from learning Chazon Ish. I don't know. I don't even understand the words. But the Chazon Ish, remarkable thing is like he writes on Maseches Tevil Yom like he's writing on Bava Kamma. You know, like, the Yeshivish and Masechtas meant nothing to him. You know, like there was, the Kol HaTorah Kula was the same. So the Chazon Ish in Tevil Yom points out that according to the Rambam, if the Taroves doesn't have a Kazayas Bechtei Achilas Pras, let's say you eat it very quickly. You have a Kazayas Bechtei Achilas Pras and a half. But you are, you know, that guy in the, July 4th, Nathan's, you're Joey Chestnut, right? That's the guy's name. And you can, Gabe, and you can, where's my fact checker? And you can consume a Kazayas of the Isser within a sheer of time of Kedei Achilas Pras. It's just going to take eating a lot more than a Pras of the Taroves. Right? So would you say that you're going to be Chayiv in such a case? So the Chazon Ish understands that, no, you're not going to get Malkus, because it's Batel. Meaning, Midoraisa is Batel Barov. Tam Ki Iker on a Doraisa level means that you need that ratio in order for it not to be Batel. But once you have that ratio, it's Batel Barov. That's how the Chazon Ish writes. You could take issue with that. Now you could say, well, wait a second, according to the way the Rashba just explained and how we understood the Rambam, is that no. The whole idea is that the it's nikara iser, and nikara iser means you could detect the tam, and lemaisa you're eating a kazayis of detectable tam. So as long as you're eating a kazayis of detectable tam, so it's nikar because you could detect it, you could taste it, and you're eating a kazayis of that which you can detect. So l'chora, you could have argued against the chazanish. There's a further achronim, and with this we'll close. There's a further achronim, a discussion achronim. If there's a kazayis b'chtei achilas pras, but you don't need a full pras, and you therefore consume the total of pachos mikazayis shalisir, is that a violation of chatzi shir midaraisa? Meaning, we discussed before, if you have a tarovis that's pachos, thank you, Gabe. Joey Chesson's current record is 75 hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes. Okay. Blows the next competitor out of the water. Okay. You would think, why wouldn't you just stop at one more than the next competitor? This is a different chakira. This is saying that what if you have the ratio in order to create a situation of tam ki ikr, but you eat pachos mipras, so you eat pachos mikazayis of the iser. So that in Minchas Kohen and Shara Taroves, Chelkal of Perek Dalet, and the Prima Gadin and the Psicha Tilchas Taroves says that the Rambam would hold that there's no violation of Chatz Yishir, because Chatz Yishir is only when you eat the iser be'en. But whenever you're eating b'taroves, there's no din of Chatz Yishir. The Maral Bach and Simon Peches says that the Rambam would hold that it is a violation of Chatz Yishir in that case. Okay, so there's what to think about over here. Be'ezras Hashem, next time on Sunday, we'll finish up Tam Ki Ikra and begin Min Bemino. We'll transition from one to the other, from Tam Ki Ikra into Min Bemino. And, okay, everyone should have a wonderful show. So we're going to have to revisit Rabbeinu Tam a little bit, because he's the one that brought up the notion of Min Bemino, and we'll use that as the transition into the broader sugya of Min Bemino. Did I miss comments over here? Yoni also, according to the Rashba of Tarova, says Gufa Yisur in it. That had been Batal Barov without the Chiddush of Tam Kikr. Yeah, the Chori Yoni, if Yoni's still there. I'll see. Okay. All right, everyone, have a great Shabbos. Yeah.
I think the Ravid in his parish in Avodah Zarah sounds a lot like L'chosin Ish.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. You can read him either way, I think. But I think he sounds a lot like L'chosin Ish.
Okay. I'll have to take a look. Shkayach. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Have a great